Good morning, everybody. That was kind of good. All right, this is a little bit different. Every week when we get through, Barry says to me, he says, what's your scriptures for next week? Because he takes them and puts them in some program back there, and it pulls up all the songs that are related to those scriptures. And so this week, he said, what scriptures are you using? I said, you tell me what songs you're going to pick. He says, I've already got some in mind. And I said, okay, then I'll try and put together a message around the songs that you pick. Good luck. So I started out, and I went in the back, and I have a computer program that does a search. And you can plug in a word, and it'll search. So I looked up singing. Do you know how many pages of different scriptures there are about singing? Try 52 pages of scriptures. And with multiple on the pages, they place from 5 to 10 scriptures per page. Do you know how long it takes to read through all of those scriptures? A long time. Now, did I read through every one of them? No. Because when I got to the book of Psalms, there were 10 pages just on Psalms. And it was like so many of them were the same. And they kind of covered the same things in some areas and so on. So I narrowed it down to 13 pages. So I'm going to read all 13 pages to you. Wrong. You know how bad of a reader I am. That would be disastrous. But as I went through, there are just like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of references to singing in the scriptures. And it's like, wow. It was funny because it made me think about last Wednesday when we had our Bible study. We were talking about different things, and one of them was the effect that music can have on our lives. And I asked Kelsey, I said, you know, what do you think when you think of music? And she says, the way it moves me, motivates me. And it was like, yeah, it does. And I thought back to a time when a song hit me. It was back in 1960, what did I figure it was, 66? Well, actually, in 1965, I had worked at Woolworth's department store up in Ogden. And I left and went on active duty for my training in the Army. And so I did that, and I came back. I was in the Army Reserves. And I came back, and I went into Woolworth's to just, you know, see what was going on. And the boss said, are you back? And I said, yeah. He says, well, go upstairs and tell Olson up there if he's going to hire June's kid to put you on, too. I was 19. And I said, okay. So I went upstairs, and I walked in there, and Bill was over there pricing some shirts. And we looked at each other, and instantly we became friends. Have you ever had a friend like that? You just instantly bond with them. He liked fish. I wanted fish. He liked to ski. I wanted to ski. He had a motorcycle. I wanted a motorcycle. So he's taught me to ski. He taught me to water ski, all this stuff. And we became very close. In fact, one time we were going, he and his mom and dad and I were going someplace, and his mom was telling me about something. And Bill says, he already knows that, Mom. And she goes, quiet, I'll talk to my other son if I want to. Aww. You know, that's our relationship. Well, in 67, he went on an LDS mission. And we were down seeing him off. And, you know, that was all well and good. And I was driving back home up to Ogden, and a song came on by the Everly Brothers. Mm-hmm. He ain't heavy, he's my brother. Yep. And I was fine till I got to that part where he ain't heavy, he's my brother. And I realized I wasn't going to see him for a couple of years. And it was like, I'd find myself driving up to his house because I went up so much. And it's like, oh, he's not home. And so that's one song triggered it, though. Well, in the life of the scriptures, there are songs in there that trigger things in people's lives and bring those to the memory. Some of them are sad. Some of them are joyous. When God freed the people from Egypt and they had come home, they crossed through the Dead Sea on dry ground, and then Moses sang a song, and it said, then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and riders he has hurled into the sea. Every time they thought about the Red Sea and different times like that, they would sing this song. There's another one a couple of chapters down where Miriam, she takes a tambourine. I was going to use the tambourine back there, but I decided not to because I'm not too good at shaking that thing. But she wrote another song about crossing through the Red Sea on dry ground. And there were lots of different songs about it. I was amazed at how much they sang about it. In Deuteronomy 31:19, it says, "Now write down for yourselves this song." Write down this. This is God telling Moses and them. Write down this song and teach it to the Israelites and have them sing it so it may be a witness for me against them. They were messing up, and God says, have them write this song, have them sing it to remind me that they messed up. But God blessed them and took care of them. Well, in getting ready for the service this week, the first song we sang was what? Bless the Lord, O my soul. Okay. It's written by a guy named Jared Anderson. Jared Anderson, just an average guy, living in Colorado Springs, had 6 kids. Lived on a farm. Every day he'd go out and check the chickens, see if there were any eggs for breakfast, do things like that. But when he was 8 years old, he asked his mother for piano lessons. How many of you ask your parents for piano lessons? And so he asked for piano lessons, and he started learning how to play and how to do things. And he never thought about being in the church music department. And then one time, the music director asked him for help. Said he needed some help. And so he volunteered. He says, one of the things I never thought I would be in Christian music or a worship leader. Those are two job titles he never wanted. He didn't want them. Guess what? God had different ideas. So this worship leader asked for help. And so he didn't want to be that. But finally, God stepped in and said, you know what? There's time for a change in your life. This is the year of obedience. Woo, Lord. Ever had a year of obedience?
Not yet, but I'm
looking. Yeah, I had many years of them. When I was supposed to be in this position here and I kept walking away and God kept going, hey, hey. It reminded me of a day in January 1972. I was on an LDS mission walking home in a snowstorm thinking about, what am I going to do when I get home? And the Spirit said, you're supposed to be a minister. And I went, we don't have those in the Mormon church. Get thee behind me, Satan. 6 years later, life changed.
Amen.
But I drug my feet. Have you ever done that? No, none of you. Okay. But he was the same way. He was dragging his feet, didn't want to get into it, but he did. He found out that Christian singers and artists, they're like country and western singers. You don't just write country and western songs. You live them. And the same thing is true with Christian artists. When they perform, they write it and they live it. And it makes a difference. Now, I forgot. I was going to look up somebody that I forgot. And Jay has a video. How many of you have heard the song, Mary, Did You Know? I watched a thing that Jay has, and he talks about how long it took him to write that song. 1 hour. Because he was sitting there, and he was thinking, I wonder if Mary knew this about Jesus. And then he started thinking about it a little bit more, and he thought, oh, well, did she know this? Did Mary know this? So he started making a list of all the things that he wondered if Mary knew. Did she know he'd walk on water? Did she know he'd heal a blind man? He gave it to a friend of his, and they were discussing it. And then the next day, they put the music to it. So it took him a little over 2 days to put the whole song together. That moves you immensely. But he still didn't want to get into being a Christian artist. So he gave one of his songs to Chris Tomlin. And Chris Tomlin, of course, took it off to the higher-ups, and they go where it goes from there. I had the opportunity of hearing him talk about this one time at a conference I was at down in California. And one of the things that he said was that peace comes from obeying God's calling. that peace comes from obeying God's calling. If you're not obeying it, you're not at peace. And I can tell you that is absolutely true. And part of the research I did, I looked at different pastors and some of their stories about how they became pastors and what they did. Bob Schuller, who was on the Hour of Power, he said he was 8 years old and his uncle Henry came to visit. And as he walked through the front gate, he put his hand on his head and he fluffed his hair up. He says, "You're going to be a pastor someday." Kept walking. Well, he did.
Wow.
He did for the Hour of Power. Jody mentioned that God's with you wherever you are and what you're doing. He wrote a song about being where you are and how God's always with you wherever you are. And the other part of that is, if God gives you a calling in any aspect of your life, not just a ministry, but in any aspect of your life, you won't have peace until you do it.
That's right, amen.
I can tell you, I drug my feet long enough. I wore out many pair of shoes being drug around, trying to avoid what God wanted me to do. But you need to listen, because God's going to tell you things to do in your everyday life.
Amen.
Everyday life. People in the Bible, they wrote it down and they wrote songs about it. People today, that we're saying today, they have songs. They write songs about things that happen in their lives. All kinds of funny things that'll inspire people to do what they do. In the book of Judges 5:3, it says, "Hear this, you kings, listen, you rulers. I will sing to the Lord, I will sing. I will make music to the Lord, the God of Israel." Telling other kings, "I'm going to sing and make music to the God of Israel. And we're going to sing." And I don't know about you, but when I think about them way back then, I don't think of people singing. They didn't have pianos. They didn't have all that stuff. But they had instruments that they came up with. 1 Chronicles 15:16, David told the leaders of the Levites to appoint their brothers and sisters to sing joyful songs accompanied by musical instruments, lyres, harps, and cymbals. 1 Chronicles 16:23, "Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day."
Amen.
When do we do it? Day after day. We sing it. Anybody ever created a song? I did once and it scared me to death. But it was kind of fun. I tried it again and it never worked. So it was like, all right. So what was the second song we sang? "God, You Reign." It's just, again, it was written by Lincoln Brewster. Lincoln Brewster started out at a young age. He was 5 when he started playing the mandolin. I didn't even know, couldn't even say a mandolin when I was 5. By age 12, he started his first band. When he was in high school, he was the vocalist for the band. And at age 19, he signed his first recording contract in the secular world. He was not involved in Christianity, was very far from it, wanted nothing to do with it. And so in 1997, he left California and went to Nashville, became an artist in what he was doing, known for his guitar playing and stuff like that. And then God was bugging him. And he wasn't, like I say, involved in it, but he got introduced to Jesus Christ. And Jesus kept a hold of him and started leading. So he left, again, he left Nashville, left the secular industry, and his family and friends thought he was crazy for leaving. "Why are you going to go do this?" And it's like, "God won't leave me alone. God won't leave me alone." So he went back to California, and he started up Christian music, and people thought he was crazy and he was nuts. But he ended up touring with Michael W. Smith and doing different songs. And I have a list of his songs. Should I read them to you? No, let's not and say we did. Okay, but some of them we know. "God, You Reign," we know that one, okay. "While I Wait," that was his part of his story, when God was telling him and he was waiting on something that was happening to clear up in his life. And about what you do when you wait. "I Will Wait Upon the Lord." "All to You." "Shout to the Lord." We know that one. We sing that one along. Jody hates that song. Yeah. She just hates that song. Here I Am, different songs like that. This little list right here is 56 songs. 56 songs. And now he is a music pastor in a church. I watched part of his message. He gives a really good message about music and God and the things that are going on in his life. But he was in his secular life. And so they sing about things going on in their life. And like I said, I was at a conference down in Saddleback Church in Saddleback, California. And they had one of the workshops I went to, they had 10 music artists there that talked about how they got into the music ministry. And John A. Walker, he was in a church and his pastor was doing a sermon series. And his pastor said, write me a song about this. So he did. And it went off like crazy. And the next group I'm going to talk about too, all of these groups, they didn't want to get into the music industry. They wanted to provide music for their local congregations. And so a lot of these songs were written for a local congregation, to provide them with music that was relevant. And so they did that. So Psalms 7:17 says, I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. So far, all I've read is just stuff out of the Old Testament. Romans 15:11, and again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing praise to him, all you people, admonishing us to follow the Lord. Now, what's the song we just finished?
Alive.
Very folksy song. Very easy to sing. Produced by All the Sons and Daughters. How did they come up with the name All the Sons and Daughters? Because again, they wanted to be part of a local congregation, so they were part of the congregation. They wrote music for the congregation. And when all the people in the audience are singing, it's all the sons and daughters singing. So that's how they came up with their name. They were together for 7 years. They wrote songs for their local congregation. One of them wanted to stay doing that, and the other person in the team wanted to go out, so they ended up splitting. But they wanted to convey feelings about what was taking place. They didn't want to just give information. I mean, I can say, Tammy's got on a black hat. Now, if I was talented and I could come up with a song about a black hat, I could make it more interesting. Or if I knew something about that hat that gave it some special value, then it would be something like that. And that's what they wanted to do in their recording. They did that for several years. James 15:13 says, is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Anybody here happy? Then you better be singing songs of praise, because that's what we're to do. Still, there's a lot of stuff in there about being still. Be still and know that I'm God. We have songs we sing about being still. We're not very good at it. Our mouth get in the way. I talk too much. I tell the Lord what I want to hear. And you agree with that, right? Yeah, sure. So still, again, this is Hillsong. Anybody not heard of Hillsong? Hillsong spread like wildfire and is everywhere. Everybody knows that. So I'm not going to talk about them. Okay? The last song is Hosanna. Hosanna is a word in the scriptures that they didn't know a lot about the meaning of it. They knew it was, originally it was crying for help, to get help and so on. But as it got into the Greek, they added to it. And so it became more of a praise than a plea for help. But they still had all the songs. Did Jesus ever sing? Did he have a number one song? We don't know. But we know that when they celebrated the Passover's meal, that at the end of the meal in Mark 14:26, it says, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Before Jesus went out to the Mount of Olives to pray the last prayers that we know the Lord's asking God, if you can take this away, take it away, please, but nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. But before he went out and faced that, they sang a hymn. Do we sing? All the time. And a lot of times we're singing scripture. We're singing scripture. When I was in my training, I would get in my little red truck. You know that little red truck. And I would head off to California with my little converter that took my CDs and played them into my cassette player. And I would drive across there singing Kadosh. Kadosh was a church, a group of women in Long Beach, California, six of them, who realized that the church needed to have some music. So they formed Kadosh. Two of them knew how to play instruments. Two of them knew how to run the sound and set things up. Two of them said, I guess we better learn. So one of them took, here's the keyboard, right? Keys. They drew the keyboard. They took and drew the hands like this. Your hands need to be here. Your hands need to be there. That's how they learned to be, by looking at drawings of where their hands should be on the keyboard. And then the lady who ran the drums, she was 50 years old. She got a set of drums and she learned how to play the drums. And they started doing music. And it was wonderful music. Wonderful music. Loved it. And then, but then the church grew and grew and grew and they got professionals. It's not quite the same, but I still love to sing it. And finally, in Colossians 3:16, it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to God. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to teach and admonish one another in all wisdom as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. Everything we do, we're supposed to give thanks to God the Father through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. That's it. There's no other way, just Jesus Christ. And we need to remember that. That's why we have songs. That's why songs are so important in the service. That's why they're so important. We can't forget them. If you get a chance to go hear some of them, we have right now two representatives here for the Christmas cantata, right? Kay and Karina have been to it. How many of you have ever been to it before? Nobody? Great opportunity to get tickets and go. They're free. Isn't it kind of amazing how God works? Today I'm talking about music. And we have two people here who are with the Christmas Cantata, a musical program.
Amen.
Wonder if God's trying to tell us something.
So celebrate.
Go celebrate.
Amen.
Go celebrate and enjoy it. Because that's what we were meant to do. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Was it that? Yeah, last week. JD and I and Jay up here leading music. I can't carry a tune in a bucket. And JD's a little worse. No. A little bit worse than I am. No. Jay's the only one that knows how to carry a tune. But we got up there and we made a joyful noise. And you joined in. And I thank you for it. Now, like I do every week, what do I want you to do? Close your eyes. Ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to get out of this message? What are you trying to tell me? Because there's something that God wants you to know, and he'll put it through the Holy Spirit. So take a minute, be quiet, be still, and ask the Holy Spirit, what am I supposed to get out of this? Would you pray with me? Loving God, I thank you that you have given so many of us the talent to create songs and music to bring glory to you. Some of us, Lord, we can't carry a tune in a bucket, but you enjoy the joyful noise that we make. And Lord, help us to do that, to not be afraid to lift our voices to you in that joyful noise or in that beautiful voice that you gave some of us. And Lord, it's amazing and interesting that in your word, you tell us to write music, to put things into songs, to remind us so that we can sing them and remember how good you are to us and all the blessings that you have in store for us. And how, Lord, that you feel blessed when we sing to you. You enjoy it when we take time to share our heart and our feelings, sometimes in a way that nobody else can do, because it's a very private song for us. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.